Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 67. I'm excited to have you listen to this week's interview. If you didn't listen to last week, make sure you go back and do that. These two episodes are both around the relationship between the landlord and the shared workspace operator. So last week was Ryan Hoops, who co-founded Colliers International's Global Flexible Workspace Advisory Practice, and he shares his kind of broad perspective of what's happening in the marketplace between operators and landlords, what management agreements look like. And then today's episode is with Nick Clark, founder of The Common Desk in the Dallas area, and he shares his experience doing a management agreement with developer Granite Properties in Plano, Texas. So great details and great perspective on, you know, sort of how those work. So definitely make sure you go back if you didn't listen to number 66. Before I get started, just a couple of quick things. So it's February, which is love month. And so I have a favor to ask. I'll put a link in the show notes, but I would love it if you would take the time to leave an iTunes review. So iTunes, you know, well, their algorithm favors podcasts with lots of positive reviews. You don't have to leave a positive one, but if you have something positive to say, it would be nice if you could pop over to iTunes and leave a review. And again, I'll put the link in the show notes if that makes it easier, but that would be a great sort of Valentine's present. I don't often ask for reviews, and so I don't have a ton, and it would be helpful to build those up a little bit. And then in the other spirit of love, I have created a Facebook group for podcast listeners. You can go to www.everythingcoworkingclub.com to get a link right to the group, or you can go to Facebook and search for the group, but that direct link will get you there. And would love just to have a place for us to get to know each other, share resources. I've already put some resources in there. One that I mentioned last week is an SEO quick start guide to help make sure you're doing all the right things to have a solid relationship with Google. So please pop over there and join the group. And that's it. Happy February. And I hope you're having a great week and enjoy the episode.
All right. I'm super excited today to be with Nick Clark, CEO and founder of Common Desk in Dallas, Texas. Nick, thanks for joining us today.
Sure thing.
So our last episode was with Ryan Hoops of Colliers International, and he talked a lot about management agreements with landlords. And Nick is playing in that space and did a great presentation with a developer that he's working with at the GWA conference in November. And so I wanted to get Nick on the podcast to talk about a couple of interesting initiatives he's doing kind of around where he's taking his brand. And I don't want to get too far ahead, but he's doing a lot of kind of forward thinking initiatives with what he's doing in Dallas and the surrounding areas. So I want to just dive right in. Nick, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into co-working.
Yeah, sure thing. So my background is in commercial real estate. Right out of college, I went to work for a landlord in Dallas that owns, leases, and manages about 4 million square feet of office space. So I did that for 7 years all the way through the recession. And it was really during the recession when I just started noticing that workplace trends were changing. You know, creative density was becoming a thing. It was the rise of the kind of the gig economy. And the millennial-led companies that were coming into our office buildings were just, they were requesting different things. Honestly, things that we couldn't do. Dallas office buildings, you know, are they basically have a 3 to 4 per 1,000 parking ratio. And a lot of these companies are coming in wanting to, you know, drop people in at 8 to 10 per 1,000. And so it was just, I was becoming aware that things were shifting away from our product type. And so after doing some research, I just kind of stumbled upon co-working and some of the things that were happening out on the West Coast. This is the very end of 2011. And honestly, I fell in love with it. I love the community aspects of it. I felt like it really solved a lot of the problems that the new trends were presenting. And I was ready to go off and do something on my own. So at the very end of 2011, I quit my job and got to work on starting Common Desk.
How do you think your real estate background kind of played into your vision of what co-working would look like to start with? We'll get into kind of where it's gone, but your first iteration of Common Desk. A lot of folks find co-working and sort of fall in love with like sort of the community piece and not being alone. And you came at sort of both sides with the real estate background. Do you think that's helped been beneficial?
I think it's been very beneficial in the last few years of what we're doing now with Common Desk. In the beginning, I mean, I think one of the most daunting things for a lot of people that are starting a co-working space is the lease. You know, it's a big thing to get through. It's a big hurdle to get over. And so at least understanding that was very, very helpful, being able to navigate through where my first space is going to be and negotiating that lease. But obviously not to get ahead of ourselves on this podcast, but it's really been the last few years that it's been extremely helpful as we've kind of navigated our way into doing these operating and partnership agreements with landlords.
Yeah, that completely makes sense. And to your point, yeah, doing the right deal on your first phase can be such a make or break. So I think people who come in with a real estate background, that's at least helpful. But you also came in, I mean, I think, so I've been to your two first locations, and I would say, I mean, your brand is kind of known for a unique design, and I would say your culture and your community. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of what you wanted that to look like in the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, from a design standpoint, it's funny. Our brand does have, you know, at least at this point, kind of an industrial chic, you know, design elements about it. And we joke because we are a bootstrapped company. And so some of those early industrial chic vibes is because that was all we could afford.
I know, but you put it together so well. I love your spaces. Like, you know, you sometimes you walk into a space, you're like, yeah, I would work here. This is I'd be at home here. And that's, you just,
well, thank you.
Like
thank
you're out here in the conference
there
room.
Are a lot of, there are a lot of things that are like, man, people are like, we love the, you know, some of those retro vibes that you guys are able to reproduce. And we're like, man, that's because we could only afford at the time used furniture. But some of those vibes have survived the last even couple of years. You know, we've kind of modernized it a good bit.
Now you just pay more for that look.
Yeah, now we just pay a lot more for the same look, but we do have a lot of, you know, either the metals and woods, you know, throughout our design. But where a lot of those things have been, we really strive to provide a consistent experience across all of our locations, but we want to provide a different taste. And so, you know, unlike some of the larger national co-working brands to where you're starting to kind of feel like if you've been in one of them, you've been in all of them. We really want our members to be excited about the next location that we're going to open because it's something entirely different from what they've seen in the past from us.
Yeah. So let's talk about your evolution. I mean, your first two spaces are neighborhood spaces, like kind of up and coming areas in Dallas. And then was your Plano location with Granite the next one? Yeah. Talk about kind of where you've gone since the first location. Can you give us the timeline for Common Desk?
Yeah, so our first location is in a neighborhood called Deep Ellum, which is just a few blocks east of downtown Dallas. And we started with 4,000 square feet. It has grown a few times. It is now a 17,000 square foot location, but it still predominantly focuses on your freelancers, your 1 to 6 person teams. And a lot of that space is open, you know, shared space. Our second space it's in a neighborhood in South Dallas called Oak Cliff. It's one of those neighborhoods that has a ton of freelancers, a lot of creatives. It's our smallest location to date at 6,000 square feet. And it's almost wide open. Once again, servicing, you know, your smaller teams. Our Plano location was a response to really where we believe co-working is going. And, you know, what we've seen over the last few years is the larger enterprise companies are now utilizing co-working facilities as a real estate solution. And so that location is 30,000 square feet, and it's meant to service still the freelancers and the smaller teams, but we do have larger team suites for at that location up to 75 people.
Wow.
So it's really, our thought process on that is that, you know, co-working was really born out of the startup freelance community, but now literally every company in the world is a potential customer of a co-working facility.
And that space, right, your Plano location launched this fall?
The Plano location opened in July of last year.
July, okay. So you're 6 months in and already well occupied.
Yeah, we're 100% occupied on our dedicated space, and we just completed a small expansion to add another 36 person suite to the
wow.
space.
Is that based on a specific demand from somebody who came in and said, I want 36
feet? We did have a growing company that was inside of the space that they were in a ton of our like dedicated private offices. And so yeah. It just made a lot of sense to move them into a larger suite.
Give them their own space. And that's, I mean, one of the benefits of the flexibility you have working with a developer, which I want to talk about in a minute. But I do want to just mention, are you in the same development as a WeWork?
Not quite, but we're across the street from each other.
Across the street, yeah. Dedicated space is full, despite the fact that they're across the street.
Right, and they're full as well. You know, it's an area of Dallas that is really growing. It's right next to the new Toyota headquarters. So it's been a very hot area. I mean, I think both us and WeWork filled up in like the first about 45 days of being open. So it was crazy. Oh,
still amazing though, because flex office is still, you know, 1-2% of the commercial market. And yet when you put up the inventory in some markets, it's flying. I mean, there's a demand for it. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, obviously us and WeWork were expecting success in those locations or we wouldn't have done it, but it happened a lot quicker than I think either brand thought it was going to happen. I mean, for example, you know, WeWork opened a 30,000 square foot location next door to us. They are now expanding that by, I think, another 30,000 square feet. But their downtown Dallas location is 80,000 square feet. So you can tell they weren't really prepared from the beginning for the type of demand that North Dallas generated.
Yeah, so you did that location in partnership with Granite Properties, which is a big developer in the area. Can you kind of talk about how that relationship came about and what that looks like?
Yeah, we've had a relationship with Granite for quite some time. I mean, going back to my commercial real estate years, my first boss out of college is now the director of leasing for Granite Properties. So we've known those guys really well for a number of years. And Granite came to us a couple of years ago, and I have to give Granite a lot of credit. They've always kind of been students of some of the newer trends that are happening in the CRE world. And they really came to us at first almost from like a consulting angle, saying, hey, we just want to sit down and chat and hear, you know, what you guys at Comdesk really think about co-working and what it's going to do to the future of office. And that's really where the conversations began, you know, and within probably about 18 months from that first conversation, it turned into us partnering together to do the deal at Granite Park, which is a 1.2 million square foot office park that they actually headquarters out of.
So 1.2 million. So how much of that space is not occupied? I mean, so you just took some extra space.
Yeah. So we're in 30,000 square feet in the newest building that they just built, which is the fifth office building in the park. I do not know the occupancy right now of the park. I would guess it's north of 90%.
Okay. But there are pockets still that you're grabbing to expand into.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, I think Granite would say the same thing. If we had more contiguous space, we'd
take more. Yep.
Probably take more. But fortunately and unfortunately, the Granite leasing team did a great job.
Yes.
It's pretty full at this point. But, you know, a lot of people ask about the operating or partnership model of these landlords. You know, and our angle on it is that the partnership model really puts us on the same side of the table with Granite Properties, which that's what we really love about it. You know, if we're coming in as just another tenant in their portfolio, it really limits what we can do with the Granite Properties team, so to speak. And we're really at that point, we wouldn't be incentivized to do things in conjunction with their team. But with the partnership model, it helps us as a company come along next to their leasing and management team and be able to say, hey, like we are hyper focused on asset level performance here. And so how can we not only fill up the 30,000 square feet of common desk space? We're here to help you guys, you know, like keep the 1.2 million square feet of office space in this park full and vibrant.
Yeah. I mean, and at 30,000, you know, to your point, you're already expanding. And at some point you could have teams that just outgrow and you're in a partnership position to
You think of flexible office space, I think everybody always kind of thinks of co-working as an incubator, but it can kind of go both ways, right? I mean, you know, in 2018, business is happening so quickly for these companies that, you know, a lot of companies have a hard time figuring out what the requirement looks like, especially if they're having to decide based on square footage over a 5-7 year term.
Yeah. And you're talking about smaller companies and bigger companies, right? Like, so small having to flex up, and bigger companies saying, look, we already, you know, we need some flex space. We need some meeting rooms.
It's really tough for a company to be able to say, yes, we need 10,000 square feet. And that's going to be perfect for us over the next 7 years. Yeah. That's just not how business works these days. And so, you know, what we're able to do for Granite Properties is we're able to arm their leasing team with basically a menu of workspace products to where, you know, when a new tour comes into the park, they're able to say, hey, you could take 5,000 square feet. And as you grow, you don't have to worry too much about it because you can grow utilizing the flex space product that we have with Common Desk. Another angle on that is, you know, you see companies all the time that, you know, that their business has been somewhat disrupted, and maybe they were in 15,000 square feet, but all of a sudden they need to shrink that down to 5,000 square feet. And what would typically happen in that scenario is a tenant rep broker would get involved. They'd put up a sublease sign in the building and take them out to market into a smaller space. Like, hey, like, why would you let go of that relationship? Like, there's a chance that, you know, they do a pivot and they figure it out, and then they end up growing again, you know, into term space somewhere else in the building. So they can take back the space, but let's put them in Common Desk so we can retain them as a customer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, and you can kind of talk about your approach to this, because I think it's a little bit unique. And I think to your point earlier, this is where your sort of real estate background starts to play in how you see these opportunities. Because I think people are starting to see, okay, landlords want to get into flexible office space. And now there's this whole like, okay, so landlords are, you know, do they do it on their own? Do they look for partners? What do they want in a partner? And it seems to me that you've got kind of a best case scenario around how you're looking at the marketplace and partnering with Granite on that in terms of like a true alignment and you bringing to the table capabilities that, you know, they may have to some extent on their team, but not to the extent that your experience can really bring them into play and have them be effective. So yeah, talk a little bit about your, you know, your hospitality sort of outlook on how you play into the landlord landscape.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of these landlords are, you know, they're trying to find more and more ways to activate, you know, the common areas and some of the amenities in the building. Yeah. And so, you know, going back to us saying, hey, we're one of the only brands that's in the serviced flexible office space industry that is hyper focused on the landlord's needs.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that we've noticed is that these landlords, like let's take, you know, going back to Granite Park, and you know, I already told you it's a 1.2 million square foot park, which at, you know, Dallas density ratios means that there's, you know, let's call it 4,000 people accessing that park on a daily basis. You know, with those 4,000 people, like typically a landlord has a tenant list of maybe the HR directors, some of the C-level execs, and the head admin of each one of those companies, meaning that, you know, their list of contacts is, let's call it 100 people strong out of the 4,000 people that are accessing. Yep. And so I think there's a big play in coming along beside these landlords and helping them understand their customer a little bit better. And if you're able to get the data from the customers, then you can start tailoring activities and engagement within the building to where, you know, as opposed to doing a simple ice cream social during the summer and a Christmas party in the winter for everybody, you can start to tailor events towards the type of people that are in the park, like a happy hour for the 2018 UT graduates, or a TED Talk for all of the HR directors around attracting and keeping millennial talent.
Things if you know them, you can get more relevant, which is right. It's kind of the thing, like the landlord can get so far, but you, your team, your processes are designed to get to that level.
Right, right. So, I mean, going back to being a community-centric, you know, company and a company that, you know, really took, you know, 4 or 5 years to really study how do we build strong communities. I think that's where we're really able to come along beside these landlords and help them with some of those activation efforts.
Yeah. And so talk about kind of your design around, I know you've sort of evolved, you've got the host stand that's now a really core part of your entrance. And I think that's the case at Granite Park. So can you talk about that and then your recent acquisition related to that strategy?
Yeah. So, I mean, we call that our hospitality bar. And again, we we as a brand really want to exude the fact that, I mean, you're going to feel a heavy dose of Southern hospitality when you walk into our space. We've got 26 staff members at this point, and over the last 6 years, we only had one staff member leave, and that's because she had two babies. And so, you know, having a strong company culture where, you know, people are focused on the members and now the tenants that are around us is very important. And, you know, I mean, we're obviously always trying to find new ways to provide an offering that is unmatched or is not out there in the market currently. And I think you were just referring to our coffee shop acquisition that we did a couple of months ago. And we acquired a local Dallas coffee brand. We did that because we really felt like having a full service coffee offering for some of these landlords was very important moving forward. We just kept hearing from some of the landlord partners that we were working with say that, man, they'd love to have a third wave independent coffee shop in their building. And a lot of times, you know, some of those brands are hard to attract. We're like, man, what if we had the brand in shop? That could be extremely, extremely helpful. So in ways, it was a move that kind of proved these landlords that we're doubling down on our efforts to kind of be able to be a full service amenity provider for a building. And so it was kind of a first move in that direction, so to speak.
So where will the first location of that brand? So it's a standalone coffee shop in Dallas.
It's a standalone coffee shop in Dallas. The brand is called Fiction Coffee. It's very close right now to our Deep Ellum location. We will be implementing it into the Deep Ellum location this summer. And then we've got a few new locations that we're working on where it makes sense to have a full service coffee shop in the lobby of the building, and then common desk, obviously, somewhere upstairs in the building.
So the coffee shop could live sort of separately from common desk, so it can be accessed. So you talk about the 4,000 people in Granite Park. If this, in that example, the 4,000 people would have access to it because it's kind of a public amenity within the park.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And some of these landlords are kind of funny about, you know, the how strong the common desk brand presence is in their lobbies. You know, I mean, like landlords are, you know, justifiably want to, you know, they want the building to feel like their building, not the common desk building.
Yeah.
You know, so it allows us to have a lobby presence without common desk screaming at you.
Yeah. So a little more neutral, like both parties. Yeah. Yeah. Although is your Granite Park location retail level part of it?
We do. It's the Granite Park installation is on the first and the second floor of that building.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put some photos in the show notes because I think it's really helpful to picture visually. I mean, it's a really substantial coffee bar.
Yeah. That location. The hospitality bar.
The hospitality bar. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, it's impactful. I mean, you walk in and that's the primary piece that you see, and then that's where you're greeted. And so it's really a core part of the experience of coming into Common Desk.
It is. And, you know, it's there where we put bar seating around that.
Yeah.
And we staff it with a position that we call the host. That's also where that's where you can grab the snacks and the kegs are there at the hospitality bar. So it's meant to be an interactive experience. It allows members to kind of sit around a bar and interact with our staff, which has been a good formula for these new locations for us.
And I guess it's also just good mojo when somebody comes in for a tour. That's where they check in and they sort of get that energy and the amenities of having the coffee bar there.
Yeah, it alleviates some of the confusion, but it actually adds a little confusion as well, because you get a ton of people that are like walking by and thinking that it is just an open to the public bar.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's actually a co-working space. You need a membership. So that's been fun.
Does your hospitality bar serve espresso drinks or just regular coffee?
It will, now that we've got the Fiction acquisition.
And will your host be sort of dual purposed as a barista?
He or she will, yes. Thankfully, actually, two of our hosts right now were baristas in the past. So that just luckily worked out well.
Yeah. So will members pay for the upgraded coffee?
Yeah, we'll still do drip coffee for free. And if they wanted, you know, an espresso-based drink, then, you know, they'll pay for that. But it'll still be at a at a discounted rate from what people are used to paying at, you know, some of these independent coffee shops.
Yeah. And so is the, just a follow-up question on the brand for the coffee shop, is it powered by Common Desk or is it totally separate?
We're keeping it totally separate. We want it to be able to stand alone. And that's a little bit of a future vision of, you know, as we continue to move into the, you know, the amenities business, you know, there could be a future to where, you know, a few of our brands are in an office building where a Common Desk isn't.
Yeah.
You know, but we also think it's simply cooler as a separate brand as well.
So the Fiction coffee brand, so if it's in a lobby, does it have cafe seating and Wi-Fi, or is it just coffee, grab and go?
It'll probably depend on the location, but I mean, we visualize it being another, like a third place to work. Again, a lot of the things that we're doing are trying to help these landlords in their activation efforts of their, you know, of some of their common areas. And, you know, a coffee shop is a great way to do that. And so, yeah, we want to pull tenants out of their dedicated space upstairs in the building and down into the lobbies.
Yeah. Give them a different environment to hang out, bring their laptops, get something done, have a coffee, have a meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because if they're doing that, now they're all of a sudden realizing, well, maybe, you know, grabbing an in-building membership at Common Desk makes sense. You know, it's kind of retraining people to say, hey, you can work anywhere in the building.
Right.
You know, building-wide Wi-Fi and you have a laptop, you know, get out of your office.
So how does the marketing for that work, though? How do you make that clear to folks that sort of Common Desk is an option? Does that have to be driven by the building, or do you have mechanisms to kind of go directly to the tenants?
Yeah. So again, that's kind of, you know, that's where the partnership structure really helps us out. So, you know, with Granite Properties, they've made some really cool moves in the fact that they promoted one of their property managers into a new position that they're calling community manager. And then that community manager is working closely with our community manager at the location to start to do some things like we're doing a weekly happy hour starting in 2 weeks for each one of the companies that is in the building that we're in.
Oh, wow.
And we're doing that inside of Common Desk, you know, and the whole purpose say, hey, you know, come down, have some free drinks on us. We'll kind of explain to you the offering, and any of the tenants in the building get a significant discount on a shared Common Desk membership. So it's, you know, it's meant to be kind of a, hey, you've got your 5,000 square feet up in the building, but why wouldn't you tack on another $100 a month per employee to be able to give them another place to work, some really cool conference rooms, as well as, you know, all the offerings of coffee, beer, snacks, those sort of things.
Yeah, making the building really attractive. So just to kind of circle back on how you work with landlords. So you've done a couple of, you know, bigger expansions with Granite. So do they tend to pay for the build out and you have an operating agreement that's more related to kind of a management fee and they're covering the bigger investments around build outs and FF&E?
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody has standardized in a, you know, a way of doing this yet. And honestly, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say it didn't change every single, you know, with every single deal that we're working. But I mean, every time that we go into a potential new location, we just look at it of saying, hey, how can we create the best alignment possible with them? You know, and so.
And it can be really situation specific. I think that's the challenge.
I don't want to get into the details of any particular fee structure, but when we're thinking about our fee structure, we want to make sure that if we're making money, it means the landlord's making. And we're also highly incentivized to, you know, to not only, again, fill up Common Desk, but to find ways of saying, hey, like, you know, once a company is either stabilized or outgrown Common Desk, let's plug them in somewhere else within the building. So we believe that a great, you know, management agreement is one that creates great alignment.
Yeah, which again can be different based on the landlord and their interests and your interests, and
of course,
kind of all the context. Just
as the offerings continue to increase, you know, that it'll continue to drastically change the way that those agreements are structured,
the way they look. Yeah. So this year has been really, really busy for you. So you opened Plano, and then you opened, what was your other location that you?
Yes,
opened?
we have a Fort Worth location now as well.
Yeah. And then it sounds like more underway, and you acquired a coffee shop and rebranded it and did a grand opening on that. And so, I mean, what does 2018 look like for Common Desk?
So we are securing a funding round for the first time. The company, everything we've done up to this point has been bootstrapped, which has been both fun and exhausting. And so that'll be nice. And that round is, you know, for us to move into a few new markets. So that'll be exciting.
Good. Very nice. And kind of evolving your strategy and shoring up your resources. I love it. And thanks for sharing your perspective on kind of what you're doing. I think it's unique and forward looking, and there are not a lot of folks who are actually kind of playing this out. And so I know, the exhausting piece, I'm sure you're learning a ton and, you know, evolving as you go. But from our perspective, it all looks pretty sexy. So it's exciting to see you kind of play out where people think the industry is going to start going, and there just are not a lot of people doing that. I should also mention that over the last 2 years, Nick was also the president of the League of Extraordinary Coworking Spaces in his spare time. So he gives a lot back to the industry, and he sat on the panel at our GWA conference. And so you'll see him out and about, and you have a one-year-old, not to mention. So really busy. So thank you for sharing your perspective and really for being so open about kind of, you know, how you're thinking about the world and you know, what you are up to at Common Desk, because I think it's forward looking and people are really anxious to kind of get a glimpse into what some of those folks are doing. So thank you for your time and for being willing to share.
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing me on.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, Jamie.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.